This is the Ingles Information Aisle with Leah McGrath, helping you eat healthy, feel great, and understand your nutrition. Now, here's your host, Ingles dietitian Leah McGrath.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian. And I'm always interested in learning more about our food supply and also the food that grows around us. I think it's pretty fascinating here in Western North Carolina. We have such a diverse climate here, so many different types of plants. And Phyllis Stiles from Bee City USA was just talking about that we have one of the most biologically diverse types of plants anywhere in the temperate climate world. So I thought it would be interesting to talk to somebody who really specializes in knowing what's around us and what are some of the edible plants and about foraging for food on the show. And that's Alan Muscat. And Alan's joining us from, I guess are you at home, Alan? You're at home, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Alan, you're so well known, and you're right here in Asheville. How did you end up in Asheville?
Oh yeah, good question. I joined a couple friends, herbalists, who had studied with my girlfriend at the time, and this was 20 years ago in '95, and what I'd like to say, ironically, is that it was a bit of an accident because they were already here. And I had spent 5 years looking for the perfect place to live and given up. So I just moved in with them. And it turns out, like you said, that Asheville is like the perfect place for what I do. And I didn't even know it at the time when I gave up and moved here.
So from New Jersey, Northeast somewhere? Where did you grow up? New York?
No, people often guess that, but I'm from the New York of the South. I'm from Miami.
I did not know that. I thought, I thought you were from like New England or New York. Okay. So were you that kid, Alan, when you were growing up, who was always outside and always like, you know, fishing and picking up salamanders and things like that? Was that you?
You know, I'm glad. It's interesting where you asked. Like we did a little bit of fishing, and you know, down there, our nature was the beach.
Right.
There were live beaches then. I mean, places where you had like tiny, live seahorses and tiny stingrays and little tiny lobsters that you would catch in the seaweed, and that was my wildlife. You know,
sure.
On the coast early on, and picking up shells and collecting those and sand dollars. And, you know, there were tropical fruits, too, like mangoes and avocados. But I certainly wasn't foraging then. And I also didn't think I was a real nature buff compared to, you know, other kids. I didn't do Boy Scouts or anything like that.
And at what point did you get interested in this? Was that in college? And I think, where did you go to college?
Princeton.
Okay. So did you start your foraging career at Princeton?
No. I mean, yes and no. I think that the concept was formulated through my experience there. And ironically, although being more of a nerd, I guess, got me there, the best thing about being there was getting away from it, getting outside.
Sure.
We had a hiking program that was just stellar, and it's still like nationally known. So that was my first experience of the woods you imagine, so to speak, in the Northeast and here that we don't have down there. And that got me inspired, but I didn't forage till after college.
Okay.
I also cooked for the first time, and one thing I think was pivotal is that I ended up in philosophy, and my favorite was Taoism, which is a philosophy that led to Buddhism, but it was really about just being natural. And that's obviously, I ended up putting those together, the cooking and the hiking, into my interest in natural food, which is wild food.
And I want to make sure we mention that Alan is the author of a book called Wild Mushrooms, A Taste of Enchantment. And if you to find his website, it's notastelikehome.org. And Alan is really known throughout certainly here in the Southeast and Western North Carolina, but I would say that you're probably known worldwide for your work in with mushrooms and foraging. So you are a bit like a local celebrity, Alan.
Oh, thanks.
I think yeah. So. I know I was very excited when I met you last year at the Mother Earth News Fair. I was, mm-hmm. It's kind of like I geeked out a little bit because I know Bill Disson from Marketplace mm-hmm. had talked a lot about you to me when I was doing some work with the Mushroom Council, and he referred to you constantly. So when I finally met you, I was like, wow, it's just sort of like me, you know, mm-hmm. like the Justin Bieber of mushrooms kind of.
Gosh.
Do you know who that is, right?
Yeah, yes.
I bet nobody's ever called you that before, have they?
No, I was called once like the guy who teaches painting on PBS, like through the 70s.
Oh, right. I know who you mean, that painter of light. Yeah, I know. You were called that person, okay.
But, you know, that's probably because I was very more on that Zen end of things when they came on my outing. But I was at Marketplace with William yesterday filming, you know, this segment thing. And he was like, singing my praises, which is great because he's amazing.
Yes, he is.
In his own right, you know. And I did my rap song, so that's a little closer to the Justin Bieber.
Okay. Well, we'll have to save that for the next segment. I want to make sure we mention again to folks to look for Alan's book, which is Alan Muscat, Wild Mushrooms, A Taste of Enchantment. We're going to be talking to him more about some of his work and about foraging and also about mushrooms. The website you want to look for is notastelikehome.org. And Alan leads tours in the woods to teach people about foraging. And he also works with classrooms and schools, and he's going to talk to us a little bit more. If maybe you're interested in doing a tour or having him for a talk or working with your school, how you can arrange that. Stay tuned to the English Information Aisle. Welcome back to the English Information Aisle. This is Leah, your English dietitian. Today I'm talking with Alan Muscat. Alan is well-known for his work with mushrooms and foraging and leading people on tours and teaching us about edible foods in the forests and areas around us. And he is an author of a book. Tell us about your book, Alan.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's focused on wild mushrooms, but a lot of it applies to foraging in general, which is what I teach people when they come to me. And they get this book when they take a tour. So I've not technically published it yet. It's a bit of a textbook for people. And honestly, you know, I don't even recommend books. People need to come. They need to not come to me, but at least learn with somebody. So the book is really just sort of notes so people don't have to take them when they take a tour, but the tour is more about the experience of it. You can't learn from a book.
So when you first started getting interested in foraging, was there a person you mentioned the hikes that you took at Princeton. Mm-hmm. Was there a person that was really instrumental or pivotal in teaching you about foraging, or was a lot of your knowledge self-taught?
Yeah, well, I honestly can't remember. No, there wasn't one person, unless it was my girlfriend at the time.
Okay.
Who I could have sworn handed me this book considered the Mushroom Bible, and it's like 2 inches thick or three. And I swear it was her idea, but when I talked to her recently, she said, oh, no, this is all your idea.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, it was on my own. We were traveling. Like I mentioned at the beginning, this was 5 years. I looked around for a place to live when we were together, And I didn't have a job at the time. I had sort of part-time editing work. And so to feed ourselves, I wanted to forage. I wanted to be natural, like I said.
Right.
And, you know, I wanted to go back to the land, and that's part of the motivation. But I also was very short on money, and it allowed us to be, you know, mobile and independent. And I learned the wrong way. I learned from books. You know, having gone to, you know, upscale school, you know, and been that kind of nerd, I thought that was the way to do it. And I've learned the hard way that that's the last thing you want to do, is try to learn from a book.
Why is that, Alan? Why why do you need to be, like, if you had to articulate, why is it so important for people to get on one of your tours or learn from somebody else rather than a book? Why is that?
Yeah, because it's a skill like anything else. I mean, you can't learn to drive a car or ride a bike paint without practice.
Okay.
And these things are very easy. You know, foraging is something that most people around the world are experts at. I joke that, I say BC, before Costco.
Right.
We all foraged, and before Ingles, before there were stores.
Sure.
It was a basic skill, and that's how we teach it. I mean, we're in the public schools, not in the curriculum yet, but as guest teachers in Asheville. And my hope is that although it's in school, it's still not going to be based in books. Kids just have to walk outside. I mean, just in the playground. I'm talking about weeds like dandelion that people try to get rid of. And they're familiar, unfortunately, in that context. People can grow up with these things just like, hopefully, you get to know your neighbors. And so I say it's time to eat the neighbors.
You know? Not in the cannibalistic way, but in the get to know what's around you way. You know, it's funny because, like, when I was growing up, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and we spent, you know, my parents were the kind of generation where, well, I grew up in the generation where we didn't spend a lot of time inside. And, you know, the badge of pride of the summer was how fast could your feet toughen up so you could be barefoot all day long, you know. And we would be out picking berries on the hillside, and, you know, we would do that. We would pick things and eat them, and, you know, we would, like, pull up wild onions and eat them, and we that we just thought that was kind of normal, and then we came I came to find out later on that was that people didn't do that. They were, why are you eating those berries? I'm like, because they're edible, you know. I don't know. But what if you had to define foraging, we have about a minute, how would you define it for someone who doesn't understand what foraging is?
Well, the simple superficial answer is that it's hunting and gathering. You know, it's finding your food in areas that where you haven't planted it or grown it.
Okay.
But you know, deeper than that, like what you're talking about, growing up and whether it's normal or not. You know, to me, at the deepest level, like you're rediscovering the Garden of Eden.
Ah, that's nice.
I mean, I really see the world that way now, and there's a lot that you open your eyes and your heart to a sense that, like, the world is an abundant, friendly place when you forage.
Okay. I love that. I think it just conjures up some really nice images, too. Folks, I want to make sure, again, we mention we've got Alan Muscat on the radio today, and he's talking about, we're going to be talking more about foraging and some of the things that you can be looking for in Western North Carolina around your home. Go to his website, which is notastelikehome.org, and you can find out some of the things that Alan does to try and help educate people about the food around them, whether it's attending a talk or going on a tour or maybe going to a school to educate kids. And you can also find his information on Facebook. What's your Facebook page? Is it No Taste Like Home, Alan?
Yeah.
Okay. and on Instagram as well. So he's got a lot going on, and you might be get lucky enough to attend one of his wild food banquets, or maybe you want to do something like this for an exercise for a group or a group of friends or team building for a work group. Stay tuned to the Ingalls Information Aisle. Welcome back to the Ingalls Information Aisle. This is Leah, your Ingalls dietitian, talking with Alan Muscat. He is well known as a expert on wild mushrooms and also for teaching people about foraging. And we're talking about his definition of foraging. And Alan, you lead walks and tours. What do you do on those, and how? What kinds of things are growing right now that people want to be aware of?
Well, we typically go out for 3 hours, and we don't go off into the wild up a rugged mountainside. I mean, you'd be surprised how much there is right in the city. So okay. We do go to the woods, but we spend a lot of time also in meadows or what you might have in your own backyard. And we wander around together. Everyone gets a basket and a knife. And a couple times we spread out and we go on what's kind of like an Easter egg hunt. And we come back and lay everything out and compare what people found. And we find a lot more that way. I'm actually surprised. I went out yesterday, and we found in the space of an hour probably 20 things, everything from roots up to flowers, including berries, greens, mushrooms, shoots. So specifically, we found sassafras, which yeah. they make root beer out of.
Mm-hmm.
We found bamboo shoots, which are coming out now. And those are planted generally, but
right.
Most people don't eat them. And so foraging includes, you know, not technically wild things, but sometimes feral things, like an apple tree that is abandoned, for example.
Okay.
Or a lot of landscaping plants are edible and people don't realize it. A little later on, for instance, there's a kind of dogwood from Asia that people plant, and I served it on Bizarre Foods, but most people had no idea that the fruit in their front yard is actually edible.
Isn't that the kusa berry?
Uh-huh. That's
yeah. Nice. I live near a school, and I saw all these red berries all over these trees that they have. Right now, they just have white blossoms, but they have these. They almost look a little bit to me like a lychee nut.
Mm-hmm.
And the skin is really tough, but inside it's really sweet and lovely.
Yeah.
What did you do with them on how did you prepare them?
Well, we were walking around, in this case, the Biltmore Estate, and it was part of the landscaping. And so we just popped them in our mouths and squeezed.
Right.
You know? But I have done them on a canapé, on goat cheese, chev, yeah.
Did you cook them or just serve them like raw?
No, yeah, they probably lose that fresh character cooked.
Sure.
So we just pressed them through a sieve and made a puree.
Ah, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I also like I like to go up and get the wild blueberries, and I guess that'll probably be late June. Wild blueberries at the higher elevations?
Yeah, well, actually, you know, a little later than that, I would say end of August.
Oh, okay.
Early September. But what you're getting in now, starting now, is service berry.
Yeah, they call them June berries too, right?
Mm-hmm. Up north in particular. But here it's, you know, it's not even June and they're starting.
Yeah, and we have a couple trees near the police station near us, and I'm watching for those. Last year was not a good year for those trees, so this year it looks like they have a lot, and they're nice and green, so I'm going to be watching for those. But, yeah, I love the stuff like that. And then, but with mushrooms, I am I've done work with a mushroom council, and which is all just the cultivated mushrooms.
Uh-huh.
But and I don't know a lot. I don't know anything really about wild mushrooms. But I am always astounded at all the different mushrooms I see in the wild, and but I would never pick them and eat them right off the ground. Never. Because I'm so paranoid of everything I've heard. Am I right to be paranoid?
Well, you know, a certain amount of being careful is worthwhile. I mean, you wouldn't hop in your car blindfolded, and you wouldn't go into Ingles and, like, drink anything you found in a bottle.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
You know, the same. So the woods are no more or less dangerous. If you're familiar with mushrooms, then you have really no problem picking an edible from a poisonous one.
Okay.
This idea of experts killing themselves is just an urban myth.
Okay.
You know, no mycologist has ever, like, killed themselves. No member of an amateur mushroom club has ever killed themselves from eating mushrooms.
Okay.
And it happens.
Sure.
It happens for various reasons, mostly because we're not familiar, because people jump into something without experience.
Okay.
You know, you get that from other people. And anywhere in the world, it would be your parents. You know, here we don't have that culture and that background. So we have that paranoia. But it's there are more dangerous plants than there are mushrooms.
Okay.
You know.
So I think the bottom line for me is I need to get out on one of your tours and learn more about mushrooms because, I'm told, and I think mushrooms are one of the most amazing things that that nature manages to produce, with so many, so many different benefits, and what they do for our environment is just astounding. We're almost at the end of our segment, but I want to make sure again that if you're interested in if you're interested in going on one of Alan's foraging trips, that you go to his website, which is notastelikehome.org. And as Alan said, it's about 3 hours. He's not going to, it's not like you're going to go out with a drill sergeant. You're not going to try and kill people as you walk up and down a mountain, right, Alan? That's not the...
No, we don't go there. Unless you want that, you need a private tour.
Okay. And you also wanted to, of course, mention that you love to do things with kids and help them learn more about their environment and plants, right?
Yeah. We have a kids program just starting in a couple weeks.
Great. And, you know, Alan is just such a an asset to our area in Western North Carolina, such an amazing resource for information about what's around us. Alan, thanks so much for joining us on the Ingles Information Hour. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Leah, thanks for having me.